Global health experts have condemned the Trump administration's decision not to work with the international cooperative effort to develop and distribute a COVID-19 vaccine. More than 117 countries are in talks with COVAX, that's the COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access Facility. The whole aim of it is to speed up vaccine development and ensure that it's shared equally. But the Trump administration says it won't be participating, in part because the World Health Organization is involved. Dr. Stephen Morrison is Director of the Centre on Global Health Policy and the Senior Vice President at the Centre for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. Stephen Morrison, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you.
The White House says, and I'm quoting here, the United States will continue to engage our international partners to ensure we defeat this virus, but we will not be constrained by multilateral organisations influenced by the corrupt World Health Organization and China. That was their message when they said they would not participate in COVAX. What do you make of that comment?
It's not surprising. There were some internal efforts within the White House and the State Department to try to find a way to support the COVAX facility, but it was shot down by those who are taking a very hardline ideological approach. Keep in mind, the whole decision to terminate the relationship with WHO was driven by the China First crowd, the really hardliners within the White House, and it's become sort of a code within this campaign, and I don't think anybody who's watched carefully what's happened over the last few weeks was terribly surprised that this decision was handed down.
Okay.
The administration simply was not going to put resources into some facility that had WHO as one of its three partner institutions, even while we are very strong supporters of Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, which is the other partner, and the third partner is CEPI, which has a high reputation within Washington as well.
All right. So I want to come back to what this is going to mean for the US, but can we just for a moment just remind everyone what COVAX is and what the whole mission of COVAX is?
Well, something called the ACT Accelerator was launched in April as an effort, as a multilateral effort that brings in industry and foundations and government agencies and new institutions like CEPI, and others like Gavi, to try to bring forward vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics for low-income countries and lower-middle-income countries when the general sense was that the wealthier countries of the world, including Australia, including the United States, were moving ahead and locking down doses of vaccines by the most promising candidates that were going into human clinical trials, and that there needed to be some mechanism in order to draw forward donations and investors from the wealthier side of the world in order to make it possible to bring forward vaccines, diagnostics, and therapies. The thought was, if we leave low-income and lower-middle-income countries out in the dark, we're never going to find a solution to this pandemic by simply addressing the requirements in the wealthier populations.
And the idea too, as I understand it, is that with COVAX, the countries are committed to vaccinating high-risk people in every country first. So it is about national security in a sense, but it's altruistic, not nationalistic.
Well, there is a sense that countries are operating strictly or predominantly according to their nationalist impulses, their desire to make sure that their sovereign populations are covered first and foremost. And when you look at the US, the EU, Japan, and UK, they've locked down 3.7 billion doses. And so the COVAX facility, which is part of this ACT Accelerator dedicated to the vaccine side, was the notion that you could get wealthy countries to come in and join a pooled effort behind nine different vaccine candidates, along with putting money towards the Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to bring forward in an advanced purchase mechanism vaccines that could that could go towards the low-income countries. Mm-hmm. And that would be a way of doing this. Now, what we're finding, we're at this moment right now when the Gavi has courted almost all countries of the world to try and make the case that they should invest in this facility. They need a commitment very, very soon, and they need a down payment in October. They need $5.4 billion in order to move forward in getting the first billion doses. And they, as you point out, they're saying, let's move towards the most vulnerable and the most essential people who need to be vaccinated.
There's a risk for this global coordinated effort if the US is now saying it's not going to put its money and its muscle in. You know, is that going to deter others? But what about for the US? Is there any risk to the US in this? I've seen it described by some as a huge gamble for America. What do you make of that?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the way that this COVAX facility was marketed was to say, okay, you may be making bilateral deals, locking up bilateral deals, but you need to hedge your bets by putting some money as an insurance policy into a pooled commitment towards a pool of vaccines, because there's no guarantee that, for instance, the United States under Operation Warp Speed is putting over $10 billion into six primary candidates. And so they're making big bets on those. Mm. The Chinese are making big bets on four others. So that's the argument. And if the U.S. is not going that direction, okay, there's hypothetically a vulnerability that those six options don't work out. And then what are we left as a fallback? Let's say that the nine candidates that are being put forward under a pooled arrangement through the COVAX facility, one of them turns out to be very good, very safe and effective, and we're not part of that, then we're out in the cold. So yes, there is a risk there. And I think that argument has not worked with this administration.
No.
There's a couple of things that I want to make clear here. First of all, it's no surprise this decision was made. It's not like people were hanging on the edge of their seats expecting that the Trump administration was going to come in as a big investor in the COVAX facility. That was never really a possibility. Second point is we have legislation within the Senate and the House for the next big facility, the big supplemental funding facility for the response to COVID in the United States. In the Senate bill is $3 billion set aside for Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, for procurement and distribution of vaccines to low-income countries. It doesn't reference the COVAX facility. That bill, that is all stalled. That process is all stalled. But there is always the potential for a side arrangement in which Congress leads, pushes forward, has a big slug of money that goes to Gavi without reference to COVAX facility, but it has effectively the same result.
Right, okay.
That's still a potential outcome here.
Okay. The other two
options. So we have Congress could come in with a funding option. The other is the United States is overbuying to a very, very significant degree. We have placed bets that are going to leave, if any of them pay off, we're going to wind up with a massive surplus of vaccines. And so there is the quite probable prospect that we're going to have a surplus that is then going to become available. So that's another option.
Okay.
The other option that you need to keep in mind is that Trump loses the election and that a new government under Biden comes into power on January 20th with an entirely different outlook.
Yeah, well, that's the future, and we can only guess at that for now. But Stephen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Morrison, Director of the Center on Global Health Policy and Senior Vice President at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C.